chapter 5. We'll just read verse 1. Galatians 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. These, of course, are the words of Paul to the churches of Galatia. We see that in the first chapter. He speaks, first of all, of the blessings that was theirs in salvation, liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. But due to the fact that false teachers were among them, and due to the fact that many of them had given way to the false teaching of a works-based salvation, Paul speaks these words. Notice that some of them had already given way. In Galatians 1, verse 6, he said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. Then he goes on to explain, which is not another. But then in chapter 3 and verse 3, he says, Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Verse 4 of chapter 5, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. That was the false teaching. You're fallen from grace. Doesn't mean they lost their salvation. They had fallen from the truth of salvation by grace. So in light of those things, we read Galatians 5, verse 1. He gives a charge. First of all, from the positive, stand fast, meaning do not waver. That is indicative of an opposing force. And then he speaks from the negative, be not entangled again. That is, do not become intertwined and snarled and bogged down again. Which, of course, is indicative of a great danger. Entangled again. Doesn't mean that you lose salvation. But there is a great danger entangled again. They have been set free from the bondage of religious empty rites and ceremonies. And now many of them are going back to that. They were entangled again. And Paul is telling them by no means and in no form and to no degree are you to be wrapped up in those teachings again. Now, what Paul writes to the Galatians most certainly has application, many applications, to you and I today. Like these Galatians, we have a liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. That's true of every saved individual. And like they, we need to stand firm in that liberty. Nothing is to infringe upon that liberty. And like they, we face the danger of being entangled again. To me, those two words, entangled again, are very fearful words. Something that we ought to always seek to avoid. Entanglements. I want to speak tonight on enjoying and maintaining independence through dependence. That's how we maintain our independence, is dependence upon God. Israel in the Old Testament serves as a picture of you and I. We know that the Egyptians were in bondage for 430 years. God, by His grace, set them free. And He told them that they were to go and possess the land of Canaan. That is, they were to go from liberty to abundance. We have been set free in salvation. And God has told us to possess the land. Possess the blessings of Christ. In other words, go from liberty to abundance. That's to be our life. To go from liberty to abundance. We've been set free, and now we're to enjoy the abundance of that freedom. From liberty to abundance, not from liberty to entangled again. And yet, that is where so many find themselves. They have liberty. They have been set free. But they have gone to entangled again. It's a great danger. So I want to speak. First point will be the danger of bondage to the child of God. And we've spoke on this subject many, many times. And it's one that needs to be spoken on often, because God's people are very prone to be entangled again. In fact, we have a fearful tendency to be taken captive. We have a fearful tendency to be imprisoned spiritually, to be bound, to be ensnared, to be entangled. In fact, most of God's people are in that condition, without a doubt. And for this reason, Paul exhorted the Galatians in our text, Galatians 5, verse 1. But he also exhorted Timothy in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 3. Timothy is a minister, and it's a danger for all. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And then he proceeded in verse 4 there of chapter 2 and said, no man that warreth entangleth himself. So that's something that's self-induced. No man that warreth entangleth himself. How foolish to bind ourselves. How foolish to imprison ourselves. But yet we have it here. Entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. We must always realize that the affairs of this life, even though we have to deal with many of them to be a responsible person, the affairs of this life have an entangling power. And we'd better be aware of it. And we see in verse 25, he spoke of those who oppose themselves. And most people do not need outside opposition. They do quite well. They do that job very well themselves. There are those who oppose themselves. And then he expressed his desire that God would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. And then he said in verse 26 concerning these individuals, that they may recover themselves. Give them repentance, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. So all through the Word of God, we see God's people are warned against spiritual prisons. And all through the Word of God, we see God's people in terrible places of physical confinement. And I believe every one of them, in every one of them, there is a spiritual lesson. There is a more serious confinement than any physical imprisonment. We see Israel in Egyptian bondage. In Exodus chapter 1, verse 11 and verses 13 and 14. They did set over them taskmasters. Oh, there's many taskmasters over God's people today. To afflict. That is, the purpose of these taskmasters was to afflict them, to distress them with their burdens. And for Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. That is, to serve with severity and harshness. And they made their lives bitter. They made their lives very painful, very unpleasant. They made their lives agonizing. It goes on to say, with hard bondage. That is, very strenuous, very fatiguing, very exhausting and demanding bondage or slavery. And the world is filled with those taskmasters today. And many of God's people are in a bondage far worse than Israel was in Egypt. So it's a very accurate portrayal of God's people, and certainly an accurate portrayal of the danger that exists. In Exodus 2, verse 23, we see the children of Israel sighed or groaned by reason of their bondage. They were miserable. They were miserable. And you review their slavery in Numbers chapter 20, verse 15. The Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. They vexed us. They were an annoyance to us. Again, a very apt picture of the danger that exists, and a very apt picture of people who sadly are entangled again. They have failed to move from liberty to abundance. They have failed to enjoy the abundance of their liberty, and they're entangled again. Judges 16:21, we read of Samson. The Philistines took him. They put out his eyes. And many have had their spiritual eyes put out. And brought him down to Gaza. And they bound him with fetters of brass. And he did grind in the prison house. 2 Kings 25 verse 7, referring to Zedekiah. They bound him with fetters of brass. Carried him to Babylon. Again, very accurate pictures of the danger that exists, and also very accurate of many of God's people who, though they have been set free, they are in chains. And though they have been set free, they do not enjoy the abundance of their spiritual freedom. They live lives of misery. In Psalm 107 and verse 10, we read of those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron. Again, this is all physical, but it all has spiritual applications. In Psalm 137 and verse 3, referring to Judah in Babylonian captivity, we read that they carried us away captive. They carried us away. And in Jeremiah 13 and verse 17, the Lord's flock is carried away captive. And oh, how many of God's people, instead of moving from liberty to abundance, they've been carried away. They've been carried away. Jeremiah 38 and verse 6, referring to Jeremiah, we see he was cast into the dungeon. And in that dungeon, he sunk in the mire. In Jeremiah 40, verse 1, he's bound in chains. In Lamentations 3, verse 53, again referring to Jeremiah, they have cut off my life in the dungeon. And how many have had their spiritual lives cut off? They no longer enjoy the spiritual liberty that God has given them. They have cast a stone upon me. That is, there was no way of escape. And again, each of these references speak of God's people in a physical imprisonment. A physical confinement. And these were very unfavorable places, very adverse places. But there are spiritual imprisonments. And I'm talking about God's people. There are spiritual imprisonments. There are spiritual chains. There are spiritual dungeons that are far more devastating to the child of God than if you and I were cast into a prison somewhere. Far more devastating to our soul. Far more dangerous. There are many spiritual pits that are more cavernous than any of the pits we read of in the Old Testament. More extensive. There are spiritual pits that are more desolate, more gloomy, more miserable than the physical places of imprisonment. There are confinements that are darker than physical places. Confinements that are more impoverishing and more demoralizing than any physical prison that you can think of. So this is a great danger. Entangled again. And there are spiritual entrapments that are more inescapable than physical prisons. They're more heavily guarded. And sometimes we become ourselves a guard to keep us in our prisons, in our dungeons. There are spiritual chains. None of us want to be in physical chains. But there are spiritual chains that are heavier and tighter and more restrictive than if someone were to chain your wrist and your ankles, physically, literally. Entangled again. There are spiritual enclosures far greater, far more severe than any physical enclosure. More indestructible than the gates of physical prisons. So this world is a place where the enemy seeks to lay hold of us and chain us in prison. We're all in danger of being entangled again. Some already are, have been for a long time. This world is filled with a variety of diversions and interruptions and distractions and interferences and hindrances, all designed to imprison us spiritually. The enemy seeks to allure us. The enemy seeks to intrigue and preoccupy the child of God with the focus of the world. That'll bring you into a prison with the values of the world, with the loyalties of the world, with the aspirations of the world, with the pursuits of the world. These things will imprison you. They will. You'll find yourself entangled again. You see, you don't have to be entangled in immorality to be entangled. You can be entangled with family. You can, any affair of life can be an entanglement. What I'm saying is there doesn't necessarily have to be anything wrong with what you're entangled with, but the fact that we're entangled makes it wrong. That's not the place we're to be. We've been set free. And we've been set free to enjoy the abundance of that freedom. And to use the abundance of that freedom for the honor and glory of God. Not to be entangled again. We're not to go back. So the enemy seeks to chain us in his prisons. And these spiritual prisons are dark. We've all been in them from time to time. They're dark. They're dingy. They're miserable places for the child of God. They're places of desolation. I go as far to say that they're places of torture. They'll torture the spiritual mind. They are places of defeat. They are places of deprivation. And those of God's people who are imprisoned in these prisons do not move from liberty to abundance. They're stuck. They're in prison. And sadly, many of God's people live within the seclusion of these spiritual prisons. They're bound. They're shackled. They're held very secure. And that's where they live. That's not how it's supposed to be for a child of God. But that's where they live, with their thoughts, with their vision, their lives defined by whatever it is that has them entangled, that has them imprisoned. Our lives are to be defined by God. Nothing else. Nothing else is to define our lives. That is the defining point of our life. We have been set free. And to be entangled again inflicts great damage to our souls. And it interferes with and it disrupts spiritual abundance. You see, the prisons keep us from ascending higher. The prisons keep us from getting closer to God. They keep us from the abundant life that is ours being set free in Christ. They keep us from enjoying God. Entanglements. Again, we're not even going to address what some of the entanglements could be. It could be anything. It could be anything. But they keep us from enjoying. They keep us from being what God would have us to be. And the chains, these spiritual chains, they grip and they squeeze our hearts. And they grip and they squeeze our minds and our wills. And it ends up being a life of defeat. That's not why we were set free. We're set free to be victorious. It ends up being a life of turmoil. Did God set us free so that we would live lives of turmoil? No. That's not why he set Israel free. But they were to go in and possess Canaan. They were to enjoy an abundance. So it is with us. But these chains, they grip our hearts, they grip our minds, they grip our wills. And if that goes on long enough, you'll have a wasted life. Did God set us free to waste our life? No, He set us free to have abundance. Spiritually, to be useful. You stay long enough in prison, your life will be defined by frustration. Your life will be defined by discouragement and disorder and confusion, restlessness, hopelessness, just like the world. Pretty soon you're saved, but you're really, as far as life goes, no different than the rest of the world, imprisoned. Oh, how awful and degrading the chains of spiritual slavery. And yet there are God's people, and we've all been there, who have been entangled again. Fearful words, entangled again. And now though they have been set free, they live under the tyranny and the oppression and the bondage and in the chains of an enemy power. Trapped in the net of Satan. And as a result, the very sons and daughters of God, set free, now live lives of defeat and weariness and confusion. There they are. They're powerless. They've been in prison. And they can't pray. They've gotten themselves in such a condition that they cannot pray. They cannot worship. How sad to live in a nation where we have the freedom to worship. We've been set free, and yet we find ourselves in a condition where we can't. We can't worship. Cannot praise. Cannot fellowship with God. Cannot serve God. Cannot see God. Cannot hear God. Imprisoned. Entangled again. Living spiritual unfulfilling and empty lives. Did God set us free to live a life that's unfulfilling? I don't think so. Did God set us free to live an empty spiritual life? I don't think so. But yet, there's that danger. Entangled again. Wandering, restless, unsettled, joyless. You get in a prison long enough, you get entangled long enough, you become spiritually numb as well. You're not moved. Not moved. Well, we realize God can intervene in a mighty way, and we pray that He does. But we that are saved have the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. That's a wonderful statement. The liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Oh, the blessing of that statement. And now we're to move from liberty to abundance. That is, we're to use our liberty to enjoy the abundance of Jesus Christ. We're not to move from liberty to entangled again. Entangled again. Those words scare me. I don't want to go back there. I have been entangled many times. But I don't want to do it again. Entangled again. So how do we avoid this danger? How do we avoid this bondage? How do we avoid this entanglement? Again, God delivered Israel after 430 years of Egyptian bondage. And they were to go from liberty to the land of Canaan. Liberty to abundance. And in the book of Deuteronomy, God instructs them through Moses how they were to do it. And there's many lessons there. We don't have the time tonight. We just want to dwell on one thing. He begins in his instruction in Deuteronomy by reminding them that they owed their deliverance, they owed their liberty to the Lord. He was the deliverer. They must depend upon God. And he instructed them over and over, do not forget God. Because if you do, you will be entangled again. And I don't care what area of your life it might be. You remove God from that area in your life, you will be entangled. You will be imprisoned in that area of your life. And it won't stop in that one area of your life. So after Israel had been set free from Egyptian bondage, we know that they would wander in the wilderness for 40 years. What should have taken them 11 days took them 40 years. And you can read all about it through the book of Exodus. It's repeated in the book of Deuteronomy as well, in the book of Numbers. But why did they wander for 40 years? You see, they were imprisoned in a wilderness. But why? Unbelief. They failed to depend on God. And how many of God's people find themselves in terrible bondage simply because they will not believe what God says? We need to realize that if we're going to enjoy our independence, we do so through dependence upon God. And if we fail to depend upon God, we will become entangled. We see this in our nation's history. The Declaration of Independence has five references to God. It's only 1,000, somewhere in 1,100 word range, the Declaration of Independence. Five references to God. Five direct references to God. And the last statement is, and for the support of this declaration, with a firm reliance upon the protection of divine providence, we mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. They were depending upon God. So you see, the Declaration of Independence is not merely a declaration of independence. It's also a declaration of dependence upon God. They are declaring, we are going to depend upon God. And those men who signed that declaration, they knew that they were probably going to lose their lives, and if they didn't lose their lives, they'd lose everything they had. They knew that when they signed it. And I wonder today, if we were to put a paper out here and had a cause, a God cause, and said, we want you to sign this, but know this, if you do, you may lose your home, you may lose your family, you may lose your life. What would it take for God's people to sign it? What would it have to be? That's even scary to think about. I don't believe some people would ever sign any such document. They never would. But the Declaration of Independence is also a declaration, we are trusting God. And that's how we enjoy independence, is to trust in the Lord. This nation, despite the fact that United States history is no longer taught in our school systems, and despite the fact that most news anchors are totally ignorant concerning United States history, this nation began with faith in God. That's where it began. Now they've tried and have done a pretty good job of removing that, but it's still the truth. And looking at America today, we see that the glory of independence has really been turned to shame. And why? A nation that began with faith in God along the line forgot Him. And when they did, they began to be entangled again. And now, here we are as a nation. We see the same thing in Israel's history in the Old Testament. In the book of Joshua, we see this people who've been set free from Egyptian bondage. And they're entering into the land of Canaan, a life of abundance and joy. But by the time you get to the next book, the book of Judges, these people who have been set free are overtaken. They're consumed. They're overtaken and they're consumed with the spirit of self-interest, self-absorption, self-sufficiency, only concern for their own happiness and satisfaction. Disobeying God on every hand. Doing that which is right in their own eyes. Striving to live without God. And this people who was set free, what followed? Chaos. Turmoil. Upheaval. And a mess. We even see it in Old Testament history. If you want to enjoy freedom, depend on God. Don't forget the Lord. Remember who it is that set you free. America has long forgotten their history. They've long forgotten who they owe their liberty to. And somewhere along the line, it just continually increased until here we are. There was no need for God. That will entangle you. Whatever area of life you want to talk, it doesn't matter. Where we take that attitude, I don't need God in this, you're headed for prison, my friend. That's where you're going. That's where you're going to end up. entangled. The best way to enjoy liberty is depend upon God. Later in the Old Testament, we see that Israel wanted to be like everyone else and have a king. And what was the result? Assyrian and Babylonian bondage. And for all who want to say, well, I just want to be like everyone else, you will be. You'll be imprisoned just like they are. You'll be spiritually bound. Is that what you want? No sane person wants to be bound. So we have been granted a wonderful liberty in Christ. And if we are to enjoy the abundance of such, maintain dependence upon God. Depend upon Him. I'll be honest, I'm scared to death to be entangled. To be entangled. Been there. Don't want to go there again. When we rise in the morning, depend upon the Lord. You walk through the day, depend upon God. No matter what your circumstances, no matter what your spirit, no matter what your attitude, no matter what you feel like, depend upon God. Depend upon God. It'll keep you out of prisons. It'll keep you out of entangled again. Depend on the Lord. Notice in closing, Galatians 5, verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty. That, what he's telling us here is don't misuse your freedom. And how is one way that we misuse it? For an occasion to the flesh. You'll find yourself entangled again. Then notice in 1 Peter 2, verse 16. 1 Peter 2, verse 16. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. God has set us free in salvation. Oh, that we would never use or misuse that liberty, but rather that we would enjoy the abundance of that liberty that we have in Christ. I have the liberty to approach Him. Don't ever neglect that liberty. Depend upon God. Again, we said this morning, wherever there is liberty, there's enemies to it. Our nation has become saturated with enemies to liberty. They've been elected to office over and over again. They are enemies to liberty. A lot of people say, well, they're just ignorant. Well, no, I don't believe that's the case. Now, I won't argue their stupidity, but they know exactly what they're doing in most cases. And they're enemies to liberty. And they're even worse. There are enemies to spiritual liberty. And one of the greatest enemies to spiritual liberty is ourself. Is our own flesh. We oppose ourselves. And we even entangle ourselves. We need to always be aware of who the enemy is. We need to be aware of the fact that our sinful flesh will entangle us. And there are others that will entangle us. And there are things that will entangle us. There are things that aren't sinful that will entangle us. So God help us not to be entangled again. God help us to fear being entangled again. That we would fear that. That we would be alert to entanglements. You know, there's a lot of things. Nothing wrong with the activity or whatever it is. But if I get involved in this, it's going to entangle me over here. Need to always be aware of those things. It's going to entangle me. I'm not going to be able to be in church like I ought to be. I'm not going to be able to be the church member I ought to be. We entangle ourselves. And then people are so dishonest, instead of coming out and saying, I have enslaved myself, they'll say, well, you just pray that the Lord will fix this over here. You're the one that made a mess of it. And we need to have the same attitude that Paul had toward Timothy, that the Lord grant them repentance, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. Don't entangle yourself and then blame someone else. At least be honest enough and have enough integrity to admit, I've been a fool, and I've entangled my life. Pray that God would cause me to repent so that I can break free from this thing, whatever it is. But oh, that we would not be entangled again. Brother Larry, if you'd come and